Well, hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here, and I've got a favor to ask you. You know that we have great advertisers that support the show, and they keep it free for you. And one of the reasons why advertisers love the Press for Podcasts is they know the show has amazing listeners. And about once a year, we run a listener survey to help us demonstrate this to advertisers. So right now, we have an all-new survey that I'd like you to take so you can help us learn more about our audience. And all you have to do is go to podsurvey.com/press. The survey only takes like 5 minutes, and they're going to ask you some questions about yourself and what you'd like to buy, but it's completely anonymous, and your answers will help us find advertisers that are well-matched to you, your interests, and the show. And when you're finished, see, here's the good thing, right? You can enter a monthly drawing to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Who wouldn't want that, right? So even if you've taken one of our previous surveys, I'd ask you to really like to ask you to take this one. It's been completely revised, and advertisers like it when we have the most up-to-date answers. Plus, like I said, you get that chance to win that $100 gift card. So once again, that is podsurvey.com/press, podsurvey.com/press. Thanks for helping us find the best advertisers so that we can keep the Press Row podcast free. Thank you, guys. Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row podcast, the definitive sports video game show brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Hey guys, Rich Grisham here. I want to take a moment real quick before we start the show in earnest just to let you know about Hit the Pass. It's a new sports video game network that we've just launched, myself and my good friend Brian Weedeye. Hit the Pass is a network that celebrates sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow with video, audio, and written content from a whole array of people across the country and eventually the world. And a bunch of people have already asked me, they're like, wait, is Hit the Pass a competitor to Operation Sports? I mean, does it impact the Press Row podcast? And the answer to both of those questions is no. And nothing's going to change with Press Row and our great relationship with Operation Sports. In fact, I worked real closely with the great guys at OS to ensure that not only we're all on the same page, but frankly, I think Hit the Pass complements our relationship quite well. Hit the Pass is not a news site. It's not a forum, and Operation Sports and Pasta Padre already have those covered, you know, really well. Why build something when there's already something that's better than anything else out there, right? No, rather, Hit the Pass is a little bit different. Our goal is to examine how sports games connect us to our favorite real-world teams, players, and events, as well as each other, with the ever-changing digital technology that's changing our world, you know, every minute, really. But mostly, Hit the Pass is just about having fun. But enough of me talking about it. Go check it out at hitthepass.com on the web and let us know what you think. We're very excited about what we're doing, and we'd love to hear what you think, too. So now, on with the Press Row podcast. Well, all right. TJ Larriman is here. Brian Weedeye is here. Owen Good is here. Chris Shanner is here. Sumit Sarkar is here. Kat Bailey may or may not be here. We'll find out. Hey, everybody. I'm Rich Grisham. It is the Press Row podcast for your Friday, June 5th, 2015. A lot going on, and we are going to talk about it. And when I say a lot going on, I'm talking about with FIFA, not necessarily FIFA EA's FIFA 16, not necessarily with FIFA the organization, but just the overall situation dealing with soccer and video games and women and sports and all of the different things that factor into the world's most popular game and the people that play it. So we're going to just get right into it. Owen Good, this has been a particularly trying week for the people that run FIFA. It has seen all sorts of arrests, all sorts of indictments on things like racketeering, corruption. There are accusations of slave labor in constructing World Cup stadiums. There are all sorts of incredibly difficult and deep-seated problems, and EA Sports is deeply associated with FIFA. It is their most probably their top revenue-generating machine. It is the, as I mentioned earlier, the world's most popular video game. What should EA do with its relationship with FIFA in relation to FIFA 16?
Well, I'm not sure that it needs to do anything right now. And also, I mean, even before Sepp Blatter was effectively deposed, we're recording this on a Tuesday, the day that he has said he's going to step down. I'm not sure what developments will come after that, but I wouldn't ever obligate EA Sports itself to be like the change agent in this. I did write a column last week that said that EA Sports didn't need FIFA, or that the FIFA, the namesake soccer title it produces and publishes, doesn't really need FIFA to be a good game. But that doesn't, I'm definitely not somebody out there on a high horse saying, you know, this video game publisher needs to be the one leading the charge. I think for now, you know, the resignation of Sepp Blatter is something that's going to be an enormously meaningful and, you know, obviously symbolic event. And I think it's, I mean, it's announced today, it's going to be effective, what, a month later or something like that. They're still, it's not like immediately. And then they will set up, you know, how they're going to elect, you know, a new president. I don't know exactly what forced the president of FIFA out of office. That's an enormous change. You've obviously got the Justice Department of the United States leading an investigation that brings a certain type of political pressure against them. That brands, even brands like, you know, Budweiser or, you know, Adidas or, excuse me, Nike or whoever it is that's aligned with them, cannot bring. And Electronic Arts is like 15th or 20th on that list. So what should they do is they should stay where they are right now. I want to backtrack on what I wrote last week, in which I talked about, you know, the relevance of FIFA to that column. Perhaps my headline should have said EA Sports could sever ties with FIFA as opposed to should. Although I do think they should. I think any company of conscience should. But I also understand the reality of business and the enormous marketing channel that FIFA represents when you are its official game. Electronic Arts has a relationship going back with FIFA 20 years. And even if all that does is just sort of give it some kind of official imprimatur or endorsement or official product status as opposed to material within the game that video gamers value, I understand why you would want to maintain that relationship. Standing pat is fine. Waiting to see what happens is fine. Sepp Blatter leaving is obviously fine with a great deal of the world. I don't think Electronic Arts is in the till to be, you know, the change agent in this. And I wouldn't ever, you know, put it on a video game, as I said in a subsequent column, you know, to be the one to say this is how international soccer needs to do business.
Brian Weedye, does EA Sports need FIFA to produce a soccer game with the world's best players, leagues, cups, tournaments? Or if it didn't have the name FIFA on it, would EA still be able to make the game basically as we know it and just perhaps call it something different?
I don't think the game would be too different if they lost the FIFA branding, because it's similar to what NCAA football was when that series was going to lose the NCAA. It's more about the branding. What would be affected would be, as far as I understand it, the World Cup games. They wouldn't be able to produce a World Cup game. And those are lucrative games for them also. They just only come out every 4 years. So it's a really difficult position for them, because they are associated with an organization that's considered, you know, corrupt, and now you see that bleeding into how they market, or, you know, how they have to market the game, and it's affecting them in certain ways. But if they were to pull that branding from the game, it would undoubtedly hurt them to some degree, because it's just how people identify the game. Just like how when EA lost Tiger Woods, or they let him go, I guess is the better way to say it, they have various struggles in rebuilding that brand now with Rory McIlroy. So They have a partnership with FIFA through 2022. That's, you know, when it was signed in 2013. I mean, you don't partner up for 10 years, 9 or 10 years, with the expectation that's going to break off at some point. They don't anticipate any reason that it would break off, so it's probably unfathomable for them to consider dropping FIFA.
So EA Sports actually had a statement, or actually Electronic Arts had a statement today that said, "Football is more than a sport. It unites us around the world in a shared passion. At Electronic Arts, we are supportive of FIFA's examination of its organization and the important steps being taken towards reform." Smith's Arcade, does that mean anything? Or is that basically Electronic Arts, and I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, is that EA basically hedging their bets and saying, we're going to see what happens before we do anything else?
Well, I mean, that's the epitome of corporate speak right there. It's them, you know, just putting out a statement that says literally nothing. You know, I think they just felt they had to put something out because they know they are so closely associated with FIFA, as pointed out in his column. You know, the issue there is that they don't want to say anything that could possibly jeopardize this supremely lucrative arrangement for them, you know, because as Owen said, and as I think is also true, that, you know, FIFA doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It's not even clear at this point if, you know, whatever comprehensive internal review will take place now that Sepp Blatter says he's stepping down is actually going to have any meaningful impact on the nature of this organization going forward. I think all of us at this point are pretty cynical when it comes to FIFA and the way things are run over there. So obviously it's going to take a long time for these indictments to play out and whatnot. But in the meantime, there's no reason for EA, it seems, to stop producing their most successful video game by far. And I think this was, you know, just sort of their way of saying, yes, we are aware that a thing happened and we should probably acknowledge that. But, you know, that's going to have to run its course outside of us. And, hey, guys, FIFA is pretty good and you like it, right? So please buy it. The video game, I mean, not the organization.
I mean, Chris Sanner, this has got to be an incredibly difficult position, right? I mean, FIFA, and it's so interesting, too, because, like, unlike the NFL, right, FIFA doesn't represent a league. You know, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, they represent a particular league. FIFA represents a governing body of sort. And international soccer is so different than American sports, right? Like, when you're an international soccer in the Premier League, not only do you have the Premier League going on, but you've got the FA Cup, and then you've got the Capital One Cup, and then you've also got the Champions League, and in Spain you've got La Liga, but you've also got the Copa del Rey, and all these different sorts of things that, and you got UEFA. I mean, all these different organizations, and FIFA is sort of the top governing body. Chris Sanner, the Operation Sports community, if there was no FIFA on the front cover, would that mean anything? Would that have impact? Would that, you know, confuse isn't the word I'm looking for, but would that somehow change the way the game is viewed? Or would it ultimately, do you think, be a non-event for, you know, people that are really into the games versus people that are not really into the games at all?
Well, first off, I want to say, just without a shadow of doubt, I have not received a bribe or anything to talk nice about FIFA or anything like that. I just want to make that clear right off the bat, Rich, just so you know. I have not received anything. Just want to point that out.
That's okay. Not what you told me right before the show started.
It's Rich, let's not get into details. But no, I think with the FIFA name, I mean, it's a very, the FIFA brand name, as far as a game goes, is actually very powerful, and especially more so as you get overseas in Europe and such, where a lot of sales for FIFA go on. Now, EA with time could easily probably disavow from the FIFA name and go with something like World Soccer, and it would be okay, you know, it would work out fine. They'd have all the leagues and such. I mean, there's all kinds of interesting questions that would come up with them just like dumping FIFA. And I'm not sure that anybody is really in a position to predict what would happen with the various licenses, all that. But they do have the one thing going for them with the FIFA name, and that is they are the official ish type of game of soccer or football or whatever else you want to call it, depending on which country, et cetera, you're from. So, you know, with the OS crowd, yeah, the FIFA name's important just because it's a brand. It's nothing that couldn't be overcome, but also, I guess the best way to put it, I don't know of any major sports title that's actually – has there been a sports title that's undergone just an absolutely major name change that isn't NBA Live to NBA Elite back to NBA Live that, you know, actually did it and was successful? So I mean, that's a question I would actually pose.
I mean, the only sort of current example is the upcoming PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy, as Brian mentioned, getting the name change over Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I mean, that's we'll see how that goes. But I don't know. I mean, that's something that's never been done, especially not on the scale of what FIFA sells would be. I mean, that's like taking Call of Duty and calling it Duty or something like that, you know, just completely changing the name of a huge franchise. So I don't know. I don't think EA is in any position to really want to change that because it's a powerful brand. And I got a feeling that they will do everything possible not to have that happen. And just judging from the reactions on OS, I mean, most people, and you just get the usual variety that you would expect. You know, some people saying they want EA to get rid of it altogether, and some just really not caring, just wanting to see what the heck this year's game is going to offer. So, you know, you get that wide variety. At the end of the day, it's important, but I don't think it's everything.
And if I can step in here, I mean, this becomes an issue when EA, you know, the cost to EA for having the FIFA brand is greater than, you know, the cost of getting rid of it, you know, and creating a new brand altogether. And I also think, just to underline it, yes, and this has been said elsewhere in the argument over what's taken place over the past week with the investigations and the corruption and the criticism and everything going on with global soccer, is that people do separate the game from what is basically its administrative bureaucracy. And so they go, you know, there's football, which we love and enjoy, and we will go watch anywhere, played by anyone, and cheer it. And, you know, both sides will have our support, or, you know, one side will have our support and the other, you know, will have our admiration, whatever. And FIFA is just sort of this resented thing. I mean, you look at the NFL and the administration of the NFL this year could not have had a worse year in how it handled any number of, you know, scandals, player misconduct, its own internal, you know, problems, investigations, and then the impartiality with which it investigates and administers those. And yet this is still the most popular sport in the United States. It's going to do money hand over fist next year. This is not suffering in any way. No one is leaving it. Broadcasters aren't leaving it. Fans aren't leaving it.
TJ Larriman, as a consumer, right, as somebody who will pay $60 for FIFA 16, flip it around, do you have any reticence to make a purchase based upon the events of the last week? Like, I mean, it's been long known, or I guess known is not the right word. It's been long rumored of, you know, the glad handing and suitcases full of cash and, you know, particularly when Qatar was awarded the 2022 World Cup of all sorts of nefarious activities. You know, these rumors have been there forever, but the fact that they have been brought so close to bear, and then when you look at, again, the accusations of near slave labor in Qatar for the construction of these stadiums, do you as a consumer start to question whether the purchase of FIFA 16 is somehow supporting these activities in any way?
Rich, I'm going to give you a real long-winded answer to this one. No.
Next question?
Yeah, well, see, it's kind of like the same thing with Madden. Madden is a game named after a guy that has nothing to do with the game anymore. And FIFA's just kind of the name on that game now. And 99% of the people that... Oh, I'll say 99% of the North Americans that play FIFA don't really think of FIFA the game and FIFA the international soccer body as the same thing. So I don't think anybody's going to really draw those comparisons. Of course, the bigger stuff like the Coke and Budweiser and stuff, I think there's going to be people more up in arms about that stuff. But I think, as Owen said, EA Sports is so far down the line of sponsors with FIFA that I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
So, you know, and then it's another interesting juxtaposition, TJ, right? So you've got FIFA, which has all the issues that we talked about. But then you've got the NFL, you know, as Owen said, who, you know, we've had tremendous issues. You know, Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, you know, the whole situation related to, you know, Ray McDonald, various terrible, you know, individual player behavior. You got the NHL, right, which in not that many years ago, three years ago maybe, had I think three players that committed suicide over the course of a summer, several of which were tied to CTE, you know, related to concussions. Again, you know, these are things that have not been absolutely pointed at, but certainly strong evidence points to. You've got the Major League Baseball, which, you know, obviously years ago had rampant steroid abuse, and you know, the death of Ken Caminiti, for example, was tied to that. You know, at what point should people that play these video games, TJ, feel some sort of responsibility that the you know, that the negative things that surround the game are somehow being, you know, supported? Is there any correlation, or is that so far askew as to just be, you know, a silly argument in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's so far askew that it's kind of a silly argument right now. Like, for with the NFL, I'm obviously appalled by the stuff that Roger Goodell is getting away with and all that ridiculousness. Hopefully John Oliver does a last week tonight on that so that he can get himself ousted as NFL commissioner. But yeah, that's more going to affect me not going to the games and buying the merchandise. That's more, you know, on the field stuff. But I think playing the game at home and picking that up is, again, so far removed from I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a Ray McDonald jersey and go wear that around. Or I'm going to go to a team and support, go to a game and support a team that's been involved in nefarious activities or, you know, getting people hurt and stuff like that. But I think the average consumer is never going to think about that.
Owen, good. Bringing it back to you. What would have to happen for EA to ultimately say, you know what, this is not an organization that we want to have on the front cover of the game that basically pays the bills for our entire sports division?
World War IV.
Okay.
I mean, I think there is a scenario in which EA would say we have to leave, and that would be like when Visa, when Anheuser-Busch, when Nike, you know, any two of the four major ones, you know, get the hell out. Then EA might, you know, because if they were to leave, then you're obviously talking about a political scandal and a level of public disapproval that is harmful to anything carrying FIFA's brand, even if FIFA, as we've discussed here, means football, not FIFA itself. You know, that separation of league or administration from, you know, the competition is something that is fairly nuanced, but when you get down to the end of the day, you know, it is the brand. And as I wrote, you know, last week, you buy their prestige, you buy their shame. So it would take EA would leave if the dominoes fell and the bigger ones were falling first. And who's to say that isn't what happened now? I mean, really, we're talking the Women's World Cup is kicking off, what, next weekend? Is that right?
I believe so. I know the U.S. women's national team on Tuesday night landed in Canada for, I think, the last little bit of training. So
yeah.
Very close.
Yeah. And, you know, this is something that has, you know, major sponsors as well. And you know, who's to say that they didn't say, and excuse me, not only major sponsors, the same major sponsors as the men's game. And who's to say they didn't go to FIFA and go, wait a minute, what are we paying for here? We're taking it in the shorts, not only from people who buy our stuff, but our shareholders. What's going on? But I do think, I don't think EA has the kind of clout to start that kind of discussion, nor would they initiate the discussion. But if they were to actually separate from FIFA, it would take so many major, huge dominoes falling ahead of them, you know, to get that started.
So let's shift the conversation from the much more devious issues surrounding a lot of these things that we're talking about with corruption and slave labor and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk something very different. Let's talk about the actual game. It was announced last week that in FIFA 16, for the first time, there will be women's teams. There will be 12 international clubs, including the U.S. Women's National Team, Canada, and a whole bunch of the other clubs that will be playing in the Women's World Cup starting later this month. Kat Bailey, you wrote an excellent piece on U.S. Gamer about this. You have been talking about wanting this type of option to play as the women in FIFA for years. Give me your initial reactions to the announcement and what you thought when you first saw what was going to be offered.
Well, my initial reaction was to do a fist pump, which I did. So that was exciting. No, I'm very happy that women's teams are finally being put in FIFA. It's great that we're going to have, 12 international teams to be playing as, including the U.S. Women's National Team. My thoughts, as it kind of sunk in, my next reaction was to be a tiny bit let down because I felt that the integration was pretty limited because, I mean, you can't play in any of the career modes with these teams. They're not part of Ultimate Team. You can't play against the men's teams. And I had really hoped that I would be able to finally create a female avatar in career mode and play that in the career mode for being a superstar. And that is not the case either. So I sort of feel like when all is said and done and the hoopla is gone, I sort of feel like these teams are going to get lost in the mix. I mean, they'll be fun to break out and, oh yeah, let's do the U.S. Women's National Team versus whomever they're playing in the World Cup. This will be a fun change of pace playing the U.S. versus Germany. But it's mostly a novelty until they really integrate the teams more fully into the experience. I would like that to happen. We'll see if EA Canada devotes more resources to it going forward. Now, I had thrown out the idea that it would be interesting to play the U.S. Women's National Teams, the ability to play the women's teams against the men's teams in a kind of dream match. And the argument was, well, it's not Sim. And I said, well, okay, but this is a video games. And the point is that you should be able to do these matchups that you wouldn't normally get in real life. And Owen had some counterpoints to that. And I do feel that just based on the fact that the engine has apparently been modified with the women's teams, I don't know how compatible they would be. But anything to deepen the integration of these women's teams in FIFA would be welcome for sure.
And we're going to get
I'm sorry, if I can jump in here, you lose what Kat raises a very important point about the intrigue created by women's soccer, which is coming up with the Women's World Cup next week, and it's going to run for a month. And, you know, people want to know, well, how do the American women play against the German women? And they will, and they won't be able to play that in a video game for nearly 3 months after the World Cup is complete. And that was, you know, that's an important point to me. There are many criticisms that that FIFA 16 will deserve for its implementation or its low grade implementation of women's team in the game. But the fact that it's coming out nearly 3 months after the Women's World Cup is probably the worst, because it's a lack of relevance. By the time it releases, people have lost interest and it's disappeared from the mainstream radar.
So we're gonna get into all of these, because there's excellent bullet point conversations to have. But before we do that, I want to still stay a little bit of high level. Brian Wiedeye, you have been, along with Cat Bailey, for years also clamoring for a much more expansive role of Major League Soccer in FIFA. To mm-hmm. me, there's some similarities to the lack of depth to Major League Soccer in FIFA and this sort of initial foray into women's soccer. Do you feel the same way? And, you know, with that sort of as the context, what's your overall opinion of how, you know, the women's teams and the women's game is being introduced into this mainstream game, FIFA 16, the world's most popular sports game and maybe the most popular game in the world?
Yeah, I do think there are some similarities there. Things like the MLS not having, you know, official stadiums and things of that nature that really make you feel like they care that much about it. The difference is that with MLS, you can take MLS teams into your career mode. You can swap them in. You can set up various things. You can play the teams online against, you know, 600 other teams. There's a lot of different ways you can use them. Now, obviously, adding women to the game is a big deal, and it's something I wrote about years ago too. That it was really needed, and there's a gigantic consumer base out there of people who have interest in this and have no reason to buy the game until they actually did something for those people. So I think that's great, and it's an intriguing addition, something that I think I'll enjoy too. But you know it. And I would be pleased with it for the most part if they hadn't have used excuses years ago that really they just look flaky now. I mean, the quote from 2013 was, you know, they didn't want to put them in until they would have a meaningful inclusion in a main game mode. So from their own words, they've failed, because they don't have that. They've just been thrown in there. You can play in exhibitions and offline tournaments, which, you know, there's only 12 of the 24 teams, and online friendlies against other women's national teams. So the restriction is there, and it's frustrating because you know, there are fantasy type modes in these games, the single player career mode, ultimate team, places that they could be included within without wrecking some sense of you know, realism that people have. Or so that's the frustration about it, is, you know, it's a great addition, long overdue, but they could have done so much more with it. And there's a legitimate concern that if they don't do that stuff in a World Cup year, are they going to have motivation to expand upon their role in the game in the years to come?
Sumit Sarkar, Brian brings up an interesting point about some of the commentary by the EA dev team a couple of years ago. I'm going to pull a couple of quotes here from Nick Channon, a producer for FIFA 16, who's actually been on the show before. And he says about getting the women's teams in FIFA 16, he says, "For us, it was more about getting the most of the best players. The international women's game is big. Obviously, that's where the best players are. So we wanted to start there. They did motion capture for USA stars Sydney Leroux, Abby Wambach, Alex Morgan, and others. And when asked about, you know, whether they're going to add to the mode, he says, we'll see what happens. We'll see the feedback. But EA Sports wanted to, quote, do it properly and not just put a woman's head on a man's body, adding that FIFA 16 will have unique bodies based on a female body type. Now, I read that and I think that's good, right? They've added the teams. They've put in the investment in the infrastructure in trying to make the women behave like women soccer players, not like, you know, male soccer players. And while women's soccer, I think what's interesting to me is that when I watch a big-time international women's soccer game, it looks the most like the male version of the sport versus like watching women's basketball, the WNBA versus the NBA, for example.
although I guess women's tennis, you know, is similar to men's tennis when you sort of watch it. But long story short, it seems to me like that is a legitimate explanation as to why it took so long and why they have put in the modes that they have put in. Do you buy that, or do you think that that might not be completely on the up and up with his description and what they did?
I do buy that in terms of them, the idea of them wanting to have a delineation in the game of what the men's game looks like versus what the women's game looks like, what men on the pitch look like versus what women on the pitch look like. I get that, and that makes sense. And even outside of head scanning and whatever mocap they might have done, if they have separate animation rigs and sort of skeletons for the women players, then that certainly is not a trivial effort from a development standpoint. Having said that, I really worry that this is going to be something that they only have in years where there's a Women's World Cup, or maybe years before or after, or like during where there's a Women's World Cup, which I would be crazy. I hope that they wouldn't just like remove this feature next year or something. The other worry is that the implementation as it is this year, without having them in career mode or ultimate team or anything like that, it's just limited to those 12 teams and the exhibition matches and the offline tournaments and stuff. I think to people who follow this franchise and who follow sports games in general, it can feel like tokenism. It's unfortunate and it's hard to criticize EA Canada I buy that they have made a significant effort on the development side to just to get to this point. But at the same time, I just don't feel like them saying that they wanted to wait until they could do it right applies here in terms of yes, doing the mocap and that stuff is part of doing it right, but also the other half of that is not just dropping in these 12 international teams saying that that's where it ends. I imagine that there's more that they want to do with them, and they probably figured that they wanted to at least get this in there in a year where there is a Women's World Cup happening. It still feels half baked to me.
So here's my counter to that, right? And where I don't feel like this is half baked, in that when it comes to women's soccer, the only thing that anybody cares about is the Women's World Cup, right? And I say that meaning like the only thing, like the Arena Football League, nobody cares about that, right? Lacrosse, nobody cares about that. When I say nobody, I mean not nearly enough people to justify it having a video game or a triple A level video game, right? There are many, many, many sports, men and women that both play it, that have very small fervent followings, but do not have enough of a following to generate that. Like international women's soccer is big time when it comes to the World Cup, but there are no leagues to speak of in the United States that have any traction, right? There have been several different attempts at women's leagues, and it's just a different level.
Well, Rich, there is the National Women's Soccer League, which started just a couple years ago, and in the Northwest at least it has a bit of a following,
right?
But I know it's not all over the country.
Right. And again, I'm not trying to be dismissive here. I'm just trying to paint the picture that, yes, there are these things, but they are not at the national level to where I would see the reason to invest in creating, like you talk about having a career mode in leagues, like they are such at such a completely different level than the men's games. To me, I don't see how you could even create a legitimate career mode or ultimate team, because there's not the volume of resources to draw on. I think personally the best case scenario would be having a World Cup. It's like if anything could have been done to I think make everybody quote unquote happy, having the World Cup mode on top of these other things would have been right. I can't see there being nearly enough for leagues and career modes. TJ Larriman, one of the things that you first tweeted when this was announced was that you wanted an ultimate team. And I'm like, I don't know nearly enough players that would even make that mode right. And so I'm curious your thoughts on ultimate team when it comes to the women in FIFA 16.
Yeah, this would be a lot different if they didn't already have made many, many World Cup games before. Even the 2014 Men's World Cup game was still on the PS2, so they've been kind of building that for a while. But for the PS4 and Xbox One last year, they had a special Ultimate Team mode that was just of World Cup players. So they could have done that with this. Granted, it would have been a much smaller player base, and you probably would have ended up with everybody having the same teams in the end. But it's still something. Because right now, we're going to play, us folks will get together, we'll do our one little pen and paper online World Cup that we're going to do with the women's teams. We'll play an exhibition game here and there. And just like GM Connected and NHL, they're going to come back and say, well, you know what, nobody actually played this, so why are we going to keep putting resources into making this any better? And it's not our fault as the players that they didn't give us a proper way to use these people, and then we're just not going to use them. So hopefully they do something, since they're obviously not going to do it this year, hopefully they do something next year that gives me a reason to use these teams other than just a random exhibition game here or there. Because if they don't, we're not going to get a World Cup mode to use these teams in for another 3, maybe 4 years. So it just seems a little pointless if you don't have something for me to actually do with these teams.
Well, I was just going to quickly say, you know, that's my feeling is that, you know, I'm not expecting them to put out a $60 EA Sports 2015 Women's World Cup Canada game, right? Like that's not going to happen. And okay, maybe there isn't the demand for that, but you know, in a year in which there's a Women's World Cup, to not at least have it just a women World Cup mode in the game. You got, if you've got these 12 teams, and sure you can put it together with the offline tournament mode somehow, but it's not the same thing, you know. To not have that additional, national pageantry and confetti and stadiums and all this other stuff that you have in the World Cup games, or to not even have that. That's what where I get back to what I was saying earlier about this feeling like tokenism. It's just like, okay, sure, we'll put women in the game. We'll just drop the teams in, do with them what you will, and like, don't yell at us again about not having women in FIFA. See, we have women. Please stop talking about.
Chris Sander, is this a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation with, you know, getting the women's teams in FIFA? Like, what would the winning scenario have been in your mind, and perhaps, you know, looking at the conversations and Operation Sports about this, what would a reasonable winning scenario have been? Did they do it with what they've done, or could they have done a little bit more, a lot more? Like, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Well, if you judge it from just seeing, you know, what everyone is saying on OS, you've got just that typical range of responses, which is just you get these guys who are on there, and literally, I mean, I don't even know why we haven't banned some of these people, honestly, but I mean, some of the responses are ridiculous. But, you know, if you look at it as far as who plays video games, and I'm not going to say that women just want to play as women, so that is not what I'm saying, but I am saying a lot of females play video games, and a lot of women play
video games. And it's not just, you know, like mobile games. These are big box AAA games women are playing. And EA at this point, I don't know if adding a full World Cup mode into FIFA for the women is something that would have driven sales versus the cost it would have taken to put them in. But at the same time, I think that's probably would have been the thing that would have satisfied everybody. But then again, you have people on OS and I'm sure other places saying, well, they added women in. What did they take resources away from? I mean, did they take it away from manager mode? Did they take it away from, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, that would have probably been the best way, is have even a mini kind of world championship mode for the women, even if it's just 12 teams, you know, have a mode to where you can play an organized tournament that would have worked. I mean, that's not too much to ask. And that would have satisfied at least in that, on that small level. And then, you know, if the analytics show people are playing as the women, you can add more women's teams next year and everybody's happier next year. But yeah, just that putting them in there and adding them as an exhibition mode, it's just kind of it's a slap in the face, in the sense that it's obvious they're trying to play both sides of the fence. They're wanting to do just enough to satisfy, but not enough to actually satisfy. And that's really, I think, where the outrage is in this, is that they really, it's pretty obvious what they tried to do, and it's pretty obvious and predictable why the negative responses have come in response to that.
So, Cat Bailey, as we're having this conversation, you know, I'm saying a few things, and at one point, you know, you, I think, quote me, although I hope I didn't say it exactly like that, but I might have. You say, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in the end, quote, no one cares about women's teams, quote, so they never get exposure and people go on not caring. Want you to expand on that a little bit.
Well, you saying that women's teams aren't broad enough to have merited the resources and the and inclusion, and that they don't have a national appeal, just kind of struck a chord with me, because it made me think of all the times I've heard people say, well, nobody cares about women's athletics. And I'm like, well, it's a vicious cycle, right? Because it's, quote, small time, so people won't put resources toward giving it exposure. And then, yeah, then people really don't care about it because it is, in the end, small time. And I was just thinking about MLS, actually, because MLS has been small time for years. And I mean, it was only recently, it's only been very recently that MLS has even kind of approached being a league that's worth taking seriously. And I say that as a MLS season ticket holder, but they've been in FIFA for years. So why can't we make a leap? Because people always make excuses. And I don't know. It's a thorny situation, and I don't envy EA for trying to undo this big knot, but, and there's a big part of me that's very happy that they put women in the game finally, and that they're doing it right in the sense that they're taking care to model it as realistically as possible. It's just disappointing that they weren't able to go further.
So, oh, good. A couple things, you know, that we went over here, including, you know, the Ultimate Team. On one hand, right, like TJ says, hey, you know, it would have been great for them to have Ultimate Team. Can you imagine the backlash that would have happened had Ultimate Team been the only other mode included in this? I'm pretty sure you can write the Twitter headlines now if it were the modes that we have. You got kickoff, match day, and offline tournament, skill games, online friendly matches, and Ultimate Team.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this, and I know, because you would figure that if it was just the modes that were announced and then Ultimate Team, then they would go, obviously they're just trying to make money off of these women, and whoever they license, they're just trying to, you know, turn a buck off of that. I understand that. And that I think probably is where you get to the damned if you do and damned if you don't realm of this. I would say, however, you know, and I argued against, in a way, this whole women should play men is a valid or valuable or necessary mode. And I did that in a way to suggest that really people would be asking EA, that would be an even worse damned if you do or don't situation. We'll get into that later. But with Ultimate Team, if you want to look at it and the whole sim not sim argument for, you know, should women play with or against men, Ultimate Team takes players from, you know, who have just been drafted in the NFL in April, and they put them into, you know, their latest rotation, and they're rated 95 or 90 or something like that, knowing full well when they enter their rookie years, you know, in the following August, they're going to be 70s at best. So Ultimate Team is a completely fantastical mode. And I would have, you know, if you're talking about aesthetically or intellectually, I'd have no problem with an Ultimate Team, you know, in which you have Abby Wambach, you know, playing alongside Messi or Neymar, because I know the whole thing is fantasy in the first place. But I want to get back to the original discussion here, which is what we are given with FIFA 16 and the integration of the women's national teams, however admirable that they finally introduced it, we're looking at what is basically the same thing as NBA 2K14 putting in 11 FIBA teams, okay? We're looking at, you know, 12 teams that are just played in one-off modes. That's not a new mode. That's Tecmo Bowl, okay? And I don't see anything here. I understand and I believe EA Canada's, you know, line about, look, we wanted to do this right. We didn't want to tokenize them. We wanted to give them proper animations, player modeling, and scan their faces in and, you know, do something that would at least give some kind of differentiation in a video game that respected the differentiation between the men's and the women's games, you know, in real life. I understand that. But I don't see anything in what they have announced and what they have implemented here. I don't see anything that couldn't have been done 2 or 3 years ago. I truly don't. Not for the money that this franchise makes. This is a printing press of money. It gets anything it wants within that organization. And they absolutely, you know, flying all over the world to scan players' heads in. You kidding me? Just go to the next friendly of the U.S. women's national team. I'm sure they will sit for it before practice, okay? I'm not going to sit here and look upon this as some kind of big technical hurdle when it is, to my mind, the equivalent of just introducing international teams in basketball.
You know, the thing that I come back to is I've talked about it a bunch of times, right? I've only become a big time, you know, international football fan in the last few years. You know, I got started with international football in the World Cup in the 90s, right? In particular, when the first World Cup was in the United States. And for, I don't know, probably the better part of a decade, when you talked to me about soccer, it was all about the World Cup, and then it disappeared. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that there was no soccer on television, right? It just wasn't a thing in the United States. But, you know, in the last few years, particularly as it has got more televised and more available and just on the front pages of ESPN.com and things like that, you know, international football is now just part of the conversation when it comes to it. What's interesting is, I mean, I think we all remember, you know, the Women's World Cup, right? You know, back in Los Angeles when the United States won on, I believe, penalty kicks against China, right? You know, Bill Clinton as president, you know, was in the stadium. And some of those names are still, like, etched in my mind. Like, I know who Mia Hamm is. I know who Julie Foudy is, right? And these days, I know who Abby Wambach is. I know who Hope Solo is. Like, I'm legitimately looking forward to playing, you know, as these teams. And, you know, when I look at some of the quotes from, you know, the different folks, like, you know, again, going back to Nick Shannon, right? He said, one of the most important additions we've ever made is this. I'm the father of two daughters who both play soccer, and for them, this is the best feature that we've ever added. And then you look at a quote from Abby Wambach, who says, right, like, I honestly can't believe all of the science and technology behind the game itself, let alone getting us into the motion capture suits and eventually into the game. We're all excited to see ourselves in the game, but even more excited to see the reaction from all the fans, including the fans of our team that maybe wouldn't be expecting something like this from EA Sports. So I guess at the end of the day with this conversation, we could go around and around about what should or shouldn't have happened. I am really happy that I can plop in FIFA 16 and play as these women that I know. And I'm hopefully going to be playing as them as they've already won the Women's World Cup. So we'll go around the table one last time. And we'll, you know, we'll start with you, Kat, obviously because of your, your longstanding history with this. At the end of the day, how do you feel going into this fall, knowing that you're going to be able to at least get a chance to play the game differently than you've ever been able to play it before?
I'm happy. It's more than most or pretty much any of the other sports sims have done. You don't see NBA 2K even making an effort to acknowledge women's basketball, for example. So in that regard, the fact that women are treated as entities, while I think it's a little too late, too little too late, and it's kind of insane that it's taken 15 years when women's soccer was absolutely bigger than men's soccer in the U.S. for quite a while. It's a foothold. It's a start. And as long as EA Canada shows good faith and continues to build on that foothold and take the next step and more deeply integrate them into the career mode, allow me to pick when I'm playing manager mode in career, instead of picking the Brazil men's team, be able to get hired on as the U.S. women's national team coach and then be able to do international friendlies, ending perhaps with a tournament. That's kind of what I want. Something more than what we've got. As long as EA is willing to say that this isn't the end but the beginning, then I think it's a good first step.
Sumit Sarkar, same question to you. Your overall thoughts going into FIFA 16, now that you've had a chance to digest and think about this stuff.
Yeah, I having said all that stuff about this feeling like tokenism, it certainly is a good first step. It is good that they're not simply doing head scans and putting them on, male bodies. There's obviously... that would look terrible, and there's differences in the way that we move on the pitch. Obviously, I would certainly love to see more in this area from not just FIFA, but from other sports franchises in general. It's encouraging that Nick Channon was saying that at least there is a some thought. Some modicum of looking to the future. It's the thing is that it'll be difficult to say what kind of impact this has on sales, right? Because FIFA is going to sell 10 million copies regardless. But I bet EA Canada has access to like telemetry data that can tell them how players will use these women's teams and in what modes and such. So from that, I guess they'll determine how much effort to continue dedicating to this. And I hope it's a lot.
Chris Sanner, your sort of final summary on how you feel about the women's teams being introduced in FIFA 16.
Good first step. I think I share the sentiments with many on OS that it's a good first step, but I do hope for more. And just for goodness sake, let's not backtrack next year and take them out just because of... And don't use the excuse if you take them out next year that no one played as them, because there's no reason to play as them except for a game or two. So keep them in the game. It's a good first step. Let's see it expand into next year.
TJ Larriman.
I hope, as we've said, that they expand it next year. And I hope it gets other games on board to bring more women into the games. I would love to see them in basketball, like we said earlier. But also, we need to get this whole NCAA thing straightened out so that we can get a women's NCAA softball game. Because I've been watching the lead up to the Women's College World Series, and I'm watching more of the softball games than I'm watching of the baseball games.
It is it is so not like baseball. It's crazy.
I just want to say it's very nice having all the world's biggest softball events right down the road. I'm just going to say that. It's awesome. So it's an awesome atmosphere. You guys should totally check it out someday. No, just saying. I've been
watching it, too. I am, too. Yeah. I've been watching it. It's so different than baseball, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just it's different. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and I think one of the pitchers for Florida, I want to say it is, she just got her 70th win and hit her 70th home run. So she's the first second player in college or the pros to have 70 wins as a pitcher and 70 home runs and in their career. And the only other one is Babe Ruth. So that's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Take us home, Owen Good.
In what way?
Well, you know, overall your thoughts, you know, on how this is being implemented now that you've had some time to process. You obviously wrote your column on it, you know, sort of summarize what you think, how this has been done and if it's the right step, if it's enough, if you think ultimately moving forward, even this is going to be supported as well.
I'm kind of pissed off, actually. 3 years ago, there was a petition, you know, an online petition, and I disparage online petitions, but this one actually had merit, and it was circulated, you know, to ask for women's players in FIFA, and they had very good reasoning for doing so. And I, you know, knowing what a third rail topic this was, you know, even back then, which sounds strange to say now, but knowing that this was, you know, a third rail topic that could be a real gotcha for EA Sports in a no-win situation for them, I sat down with David Rutter, the executive producer, to talk about why women's players hadn't been integrated. And obviously the same reasons were given then as now, that they didn't want to tokenize their inclusion. They wanted to do it properly. They wanted to reflect the distinctive and stylistic differences between the women's and men's games. And all of that needed time and development, you know, attention and costs and things like that. And even the person who introduced that petition, which some people have been citing lately, you know, now that women have been introduced into FIFA, she said she didn't want to see women playing men, you know, in a mode because she felt that that gesture itself would be tokenized, that she knew how unrealistic it would be. And I feel like what we have gotten is not something that truly separates or gives any kind of distinction to the women's game. It just is, here you go, here's 12 teams, here's something that we could have done under any physics engine that we had preceding this, or, you know, currently. They've published 2 editions on current hardware. And, you know, to Kat's point especially, you don't even have, you know, the veneer of, here's a fictitious international competition mode, even with the 11 licensed teams you have. I know that there is not the same kind of structure present to license real-life women's professional soccer players, you know, on national teams or in the professional leagues. They do exist outside of North America. I know that that can be difficult to run down, but you know, what we are shown is not anything to me that, looking back, could not have been accomplished in 2012 when I wrote that story, when I went to EA Sports and said, hey, what gives? Why haven't you done this yet? It beggars my imagination that there was some other priority within this game. And when you think about the changes in FIFA 13, 14, 15, and think about how you played them and think about how they were reviewed. think about what they were, what was discussed in them, and that they were basically, everyone was saying, well, it's, you know, incremental changes. It's a great game, and it's a refinement of a great game. And nowhere within that was the bandwidth to put in 12 extra teams. And that's what we're getting this year, and that is not a milestone. It's a start. It's an inclusion. It's a necessary one, but it is long overdue.
Well, thank you, Ryan Weedy from Pasta Padre. Thank you, TJ Larriman from That Sports Gamer. Thank you, Smith Sarkar from Polygon. Thank you, Owen Good from Polygon. Thank you, Chris Sander from Operation Sports. And thank you, Kat Bailey from US Gamer. This is not an easy conversation, right? I mean, this is not... You know, you want to be positive that good things are happening. You want to be critical about how you think things should be done. You want to analyze conversations and information that's been disseminated for years. You know, it's a hard conversation. So thank you, everybody, for participating. I really appreciate it. And, hey, look, at the end of this, we're all still friends, which is the most important thing. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, as always, to the great folks at Operation Sports for making the Press Row podcast happen. And thank you, as always, to the listeners for continuing to be a part of the show. Much appreciated. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast brought to you by Operation Sports. We ask that you please subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and the Windows phones. We also ask that you give us a rating. That really helps us a lot. We also ask that you please follow each of our panelists on Twitter, and they are as follows. Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good. Pasta Padre's Brian Weedy at Pasta Padre. Polygon's Smit Sarkar at Smit Sarkar. That Sports Gamer's TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer. US Gamer's Kat Bailey at @_KatBot. Operation Sports Chris Sanner at ChrisSNR. And Operation Sports Steve No at Steve_OS. And of course me, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And we really want to thank the great people at Operation Sports for making this show happen every single week. So thanks. We'll see you again next time.